regarding us standing, but before we do that, my wife has asked to get up and share for just a moment. So are you guys all right with that? She's definitely my better half. Y'all give her a hand. Come on, baby.
It's hard getting up those stairs. I told Todd, I said, help me up because it's really slippery. But good morning, everyone. I just wanted to take the time to, I say personally, I can't like walk up to every lady and personally invite you, but I could do this. So this is what I'm going to do. We have a women's night next Sunday at 6 o'clock, and my pastor's wives, Miss Heidi Reisner and Miss Michelle Aranz, are going to be here speaking. You've been seeing the announcements. It's something that you're going to be able to come to and bring your coworkers, bring your friends, bring your neighbors, bring your family, and be proud of. I mean, it's going to be a big event. We're going to make it special for you. I promise you will leave with something good, and you'll leave encouraged and challenged. So I'm getting nervous. And my husband said, when you get nervous, stop and breathe. So let me do that.
You're good, baby.
Okay, it helped. So anyway, I just wanted to encourage you to come. It's really going to be great. It's going to be worth your time. And sometimes you get to that time, it's 15 minutes before, and you're thinking, oh, I don't want to do it. But I promise you, if you come, you'll leave with something great. So mark it on your calendars next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock.
Let me just say, though my wife, I mean, she obviously stands out just because she's amazingly gorgeous, and she is so much more than what you may see here. And you may say, yeah, she's a lot. I know, that's why I married her. Isn't she? She's amazing. I put it this way. She's more beautiful on the inside than she is on the outside. I am a blessed man. And if you ever wonder, what can I do for my pastor? Be a blessing to my wife. Encourage my wife. Because it's not always easy having the position of a pastor's wife. But she executes it fantastically. And by her own admission says, my call is first and foremost to God, then to me, and then to our children and our family. And she does an amazing job. And ladies, if you've ever wondered with your own children, like, what can I do? Like, she is a genius with kids and with taking care of a husband, taking care of a home, and on the side even has her own little internet-based business where she's making funds to help as ultimately we plan to build a home. She's amazing. So I just want to, can we just pray for her and be a blessing to her? Can we do that? So let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the gift that you've given me and my kids and my family and Lisa. And Lord, thank you for the gift that she is to this church. Lord, thank you for the heart that you've put in her. May you bless her and be with her. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all give her a hand. Yeah, I promise you'll be blown away, ladies. On Sunday night, not this Sunday night, next Sunday night. You'll be blown away. It's going to be amazing. I'm mildly jealous. And Miss Michelle Aranza and Miss Heidi Reisner, honestly, some of the best speakers to women that I've ever heard. I mean, I'm not a woman, but I can listen and go, man, that was really, really good. Spoken multiple times with Holly Wagner, with Christine Kane. I mean, they're no slumps, that's for sure. They're amazing, and they're very excited about coming here. It's going to be an awesome time of worship, an awesome time of really receiving what God has for you. And if you come, I promise you'll be blessed. And she's right, you can feel very, very comfortable bringing friends, because it's not going to be weird. Do you hate bringing people, and then it turns out to be like this weird thing? Has anybody ever done that before? Like, you bring somebody, you invite somebody to church, and then it's like the one Sunday that everything goes nuts so crazy and like something strange happens and you're embarrassed. Has that ever happened to anybody? Let me just tell you, if you invite people, they will walk away going, wow, what was that? That has to be God because it was that good. And we have a team of ladies that have been working really hard. It's going to be great. We're going to start this morning out of the book of Daniel. So let's pray and we'll get rolling. Father, I just pray today you speak to us, you open our eyes, you open our hearts. May we receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been preaching out of the book of Daniel and entitled the message series, Stand, because Daniel embodied, I believe, what it really means to be a person of faith and to stand for what you believe in. And we started the first week with standing out. It's not like Daniel did anything overtly spectacular to stand out. And as you read the book of Daniel, you'll realize that though he was just a young man, when he was taken to Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq, he was just a kid, but he made a stand. It says that he determined that he would not defile himself. He made a stand, and it was just an inward one. It was this stand of, I'm not going to defile myself. In other words, I'm going to be what God wants me to be. It is very easy to get wrapped up in doing things, isn't it? Come on, is it easy to get wrapped up in doing things and doing life? And we have so many tasks from the time that the alarm goes off in the morning until we go to bed. I recognize that. I'm a pastor of a growing church. I've got four kids. I've been a self-professed hobby junkie. I understand that there are a lot of things that need to get done. And if we're not careful, we'll relegate our spiritual walk to the realm of the natural. And that we'll try to do things. But God's not concerned about your doing unless it comes from a place of being. And if it comes from a place of being, you don't ever have to worry about the doing because it takes care of itself because it's just a natural expression and overflow from what's inside of you. Did y'all get that? That was a mouthful. Worry about what am I being? What am I becoming? Am I becoming all that God has called me to be? Like Daniel is a young man, taken away from his family, transported over 1,000 miles away, probably on foot. Nothing familiar, no family, but he makes this determination, I'm not going to defile myself. And because of that one decision, he stands out. Last week we talked about standing up, that there's a level of faith that God will give us as we spend time in his presence and we trust him that when the right moment arrives, at the right way, the right time, with the right heart, that we can stand up and God will use us and he'll use our voice to see the world changed. Because today, in here, sits world changers, I promise you. It may not have happened yet, but we just have to believe as we allow God to conform us to him, we change the world. Don't get caught into the trap of trying to do it and trying to be the world changer through using your hands and your voice. If that is how you plan on changing the world, you may do some really cool things, but it won't last. When we come to the place where we say, my hands, my mouth, my feet are second to my heart for God, and that my life is being conformed to his image, we'll make lasting change. And sometimes we'll look at people who have lived an entire life that has been one of dedication and surrender to God. And we look at the external and we don't see anything tremendous. And we go, well, that was just a waste of time. Really? Was it? I mean, everybody here is familiar with Billy Graham, right? So in the kingdom of God, who's greater, Billy Graham or the person who led Billy Graham to the Lord? Who's greater, Billy Graham or his mama? I mean, is that even, how can we even fathom that? We never know what God will use us to do when we have enough faith to stand up. Today, I titled this message, Stand Strong, and we're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 6. And in Daniel chapter 6, we see a really unique story. It's one that, if you grew up in church, like you probably heard 1,000 times, it's Daniel in the lion's den. And I titled the message, Stand Strong. Now, I grew up in a mainline Protestant denomination that did a great job of teaching kids Bible stories, and I'm grateful for that. The story of Daniel in the lion's den was like a favorite because every year I got it at least once, and when I was really little, they didn't have the Promethean boards. They didn't have like cool videos. No, we didn't have any of that stuff. We had like a chalkboard and a flannel graph. Anybody remember flannel graphs? It's a flannel graph. I thought it was the best thing in the world as a kid. I'm like, wow, it's just flannel, and you stick cutouts of people on flannel. And we see Daniel and this story of him in the lion's den. If I'm not careful, I'll revert back to, oh, it was so cool because there's Daniel. And they put up a picture of a young guy. I'm like, that's actually not the reality at all. Like, the flannel graph was, there's Daniel. He's this good-looking young guy. And then here he is in the lion's den. And, like, the lions look all, like, nice and sweet and cute, like kittens. And Daniel, like, oh, but God kept him safe. And they turn Daniel on his side, and he's using the lion as a pillow. And it's, like, very, like, sterile. Has anybody experienced that before? Like, those flannel graphs, and it's like, oh, that's so cute. That is not the reality, because here is where we see Daniel. We see Daniel now as an old man in chapter 6. He's somewhere around 80 years old, and he's been serving God for a really long time. And the king is King Darius. Now, he's been in captivity almost all of his life at this point. It's the third king that he's sat under, and with each king, he's stood out. With each transition and each ruler, people have recognized something inside of him that's enabled him not just to stand out, but at the right time stand up. And today we're talking about how he stood strong. But let me just tell you that those lions in the lion's den, they weren't like kittens. Daniel's an old man facing very hungry lions. I had the opportunity in South Africa to go to a farm where they raised lions. And it was pretty cool. It was also very intimidating to stand on one side of a fence where you see these massive lions. And they brought in a cow. I know. And they put the cow, it was a dead cow, they just into the pen, and all of these lions came running. And I'm standing on the fence. It was disturbing. I mean, it was way cool. Let's just say it was, for a guy who grew up hunting and fishing, it was way cool. I'm like, wow. But it was still, at the same time, there's a high cool factor. There was a pretty high, like, I'm kind of freaked out factor, because it was scary. Had that fence not been there, there's no way that I would have been anywhere around those lions, because they were scary. If you've ever had an encounter with a large animal, even a dog, how many of y'all been, like, scared to death by a dog? Somebody showed me their finger this morning that got bit. It's the middle finger. They weren't very kind about how they showed me that. No, they were. They were wonderful. Have y'all ever been scared of dogs before? I was a mailman, okay? I carried mail for 6 months. I know what it's like to be chased by dogs, and that can be really quite scary. Can you imagine lions? But this is the story where we see Daniel able to trust God through the most difficult moment in his life, where years of faithfulness culminated with him facing what seemed certain death, and yet he lived to tell the tale of how God met him. Do you think that maybe there's lessons for you and I to be learned through all of this? Here's my heart for you, that through this whole series, as we're looking at Daniel, and I'm really excited for the next couple weeks, because the next 2 weeks we're talking about standing in faith, as Daniel stood in faith. And then the last week talking about standing in the fire when everything around us seems to be going to hell and burning up. I'm excited about that, but here's my heart through this entire series, and through, hopefully, as you are reading through the book of Daniel, that God builds faith in us, that we can trust him, but more than just saying, I trust him, that we trust him enough to give him all of us and give him the best of us, the best of our time, the best of our resources, the best of everything. The only way you'll ever get to the place of giving God the best of what you have is when you first come to him and give him the worst. And you say, Lord, here I am. I'm messed up. Here's all my junk. Here's all my sin. Shine your light in. I receive your forgiveness. In that moment, when we give him the worst, he begins to develop in us the best. And my prayer for all of us is that we recognize God wants to use us. But for us to be used by him, we got to believe him. It's Hebrews 11:6 that says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Anybody here want to please God? Do y'all? Come on, talk back to me. Do y'all want to please God? Of course you're here, I assume, because you want to please God. Then you have to develop faith. And what a great book to look at. Daniel, God used him tremendously, but what a man of faith. Let's look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. It says, Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces. Now, he's the new king on the block. History records him as being an administrative genius. So he takes the throne, and he comes in and begins to reorganize how everything is handled. He began to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two other administrators to supervise the high officers and to protect the king's interests. Those 120 managers, they were called satraps, which means protector of the kingdom. There were 120 of them that had complete rule to make sure that the kingdom was protected from rebellion, protected from outside threats, protected by ensuring that taxes were levied and received. So there were 120 of them. There were three people who oversaw the 120. Daniel was one of them. Verse 2, the king also chose Daniel and two other administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Verse 3, Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all of the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. So Daniel's about to get promoted big time. He's going to be the number two guy over an empire that ruled the entire known world. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? Verse 4 says, then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some faults in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. It's a pretty interesting setup here. I want to give you some advice when you read the Bible. Don't read it like a history book. Read it like you'd watch a Bourne Identity movie. Anybody seen the movie Bourne Identity? Lots of people have, right? Come on. Have y'all watched psychological thrillers and action movies that have subplots? And have y'all done that? Come on. Of course you have. Let me just tell you, the Bible is an amazing book. And when we read it from the perspective of what it was probably very much like, and we allow our imagination to kick in, it comes alive and it leaps off the pages. I mean, this is like something out of the Hunger Games. Didn't see the movie. I'm sure, though. Read the books. It's pretty cool. Because here we have Daniel, who's an old man, somewhere around 80 years old, and yet he's continuing to be promoted. He's standing out. Why? Why does he stand out? My goodness. Verse 4. He was faithful. The last part. What's it say? He was what? What was he? Faithful, always what? Responsible, and completely what? Trustworthy. He was a strong man and a strong man of faith. And here's what we can learn, I believe, three things as we look at this story. I've got three truths that will help you stand strong. I believe you're here because you want to stand strong in faith. And Daniel, this book gives us such a great example of how to stand strong in faith. The first truth, number one, when God raises you up, expect others to tear you down. When God raises you up, expect other people to tear you down. Because they will. It's sad that when somebody is raised up, the nature of humanity is to tear them down. Y'all ever been crabbing? How many of y'all been crabbing? Come on, where's our Cajuns? You've been crabbing, and you get your crabs, and you put them in the bucket, and you got a few crabs. Have you ever had the water just water level in it is a little too high, and they can like get a claw up on the edge of the bucket, and they start to climb out? But if you got a bunch of crabs in there, do you have to worry about that? Do you? I want you to take note the next time that you're going crabbing. There's a bunch of people, about half the people in here go crabbing. That's a good population of some Cajuns up in here. They're like, I think I'm going to have me some crabs. Watch. When you put a bunch of crabs in there and they'll start to climb out, here's what's going to happen. The one that starts to climb out, you can bet your bottom dollar on this. The other crabs, you know what they're going to do? They're going to reach up. And what are they going to do? They're going to pull that crab down. Don't be surprised that when you stand strong in faith, that you're trusting God. It says in verse 4 that he was what? The very first thing. He was faithful. The very first fruit of faith. The first thing that we will see in our lives when we trust God, we believe him, we hear his word, we act on it, that's faith. The very first fruit of that is faithfulness. So don't be surprised as you're being faithful, God raising you up. But also don't be surprised when somebody else comes to try and pull you down. That's just the nature of humanity. Expect people to tear you down. Now here's the deal. This is where it gets tricky. Because the reality is that we're called to believe the best about everyone. That seems like it is not congruent with expecting other people to tear you down. How can you believe the best about somebody and then expect to be torn down, maybe by that person? Because that doesn't seem to jive, Pastor. Like, have you lost your mind? Like, you're always saying believe the best about people. Yes, we always believe the best about people. But we have to expect that the enemy will use people to tear us down. Why was Jesus on the cross dying? And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Has that ever struck a chord with you? Man, it has with me. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here's what I've found, is that people want to do what's right. People want to do good. They have it in their heart to do that. But because of the brokenness of humanity, because of the curse of sin that we're all born into, we don't bend to do good. We want to, but in the end, too often we fail. Has anybody experienced that? Nobody has experienced that. So that when we look at others, we can go, I know that they want to do the right, that we can believe the best, but we also have to be aware that the enemy, it's 1 Peter 5:8 that says that the enemy roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 says that though we walk in this flesh, we don't war according to this flesh. Let me remind everyone here that we live in a physical world, but the greater reality is a spiritual one, and there is a war that's going on for the hearts, the souls, the minds of people. Do you realize that? There is a tremendous war, and the enemy will use people to affect God's children who are following him. Y'all following me here? So we believe the best, but we just have to expect that, you know what? People are going to tear me down. If God uses me and I'm faithful, that I'm trustworthy, he's going to use me if I'm faithful to love him, to serve him, to honor him, to love people, to serve all. If I'm faithful to do that, it just may happen that other people will tear me down. So here's my question to you. What do you expect? I think many times people expect that when they start serving and following God, that life becomes just easy. That there's no problems, that there's no difficulties. And for the longest time, there was a very perverted doctrine that actually taught that God's heart for you is to have $1 million, a helicopter, a hilltop mansion, and a brand new Mercedes. The Bible's full of examples where it says that God's heart for us is for him to bless us. That we see over and over, Deuteronomy chapter 28, all the blessings of people that follow God. And we walk in the promise, the protection, and the blessing of God. But we also don't see the big picture. Here's what I expect. When I follow God, that I will be able to have what he promises me. Here's what he promises me. It's Galatians chapter 5. This is the fruit of God's Spirit in my life. Love. Love. Man, two things. I want to love people, because sometimes that's hard. That's really, really hard. Has anybody experienced that? It's really hard sometimes to love people, because people can be quite unlovable. And though you may believe the best about them, sometimes they act like they're living at the worst, and it's really hard to love. I want to be able to love. That's what happens when we trust God and honor him. Here's the greatest blessing we can have. Number one, we have the ability to love, but here's why we have that ability to love others. Because we are loved and we know it. The greatest blessing that I can ever have from God is knowing that he loves me, he's with me, he's for me, that I live in a broken world, and that he will meet me, and that this life isn't the end. What do you expect? Many times people build a life of faith, and then when that faith is tested, they fail the test because they think that God is operating contrary to what he said. God never said, you won't die. God never said, the people around you won't die. He said he'll protect you, that he's for life. The greatest life that we have is not the one that we're currently living. Do we remember that? And that all of us here, unless Jesus comes back, and all of us here will ultimately face death. And yet so often, here's the enemy's tactic. To sideswipe us with fear and to get us off base thinking that what God promised really isn't for us, so that we expected one thing and we got another and it messes us up. Are y'all following me? Over and over in marriages, this is what I've found, even in relationships that are on their way to marriage, that expectation differences end in tremendous strife and conflict. Y'all ever figured that one out if you've been married for any length of time? Well, I thought you were going to do this. Well, I thought you'd be this way to me. Well, I thought that this would happen then all this time. I thought that you would. Nobody's ever experienced that but me, apparently. Expectations are huge. What do you expect? Here's the first truth. When God raises you up, expect people to tear you down. So here's the story. Daniel's one of three rulers over the 120 managers over a massive empire that covers the entire known world. But the king sees Daniel and realizes how amazing this guy is. God's favor's all over him. Daniel's been faithful for years. And he says, I'm gonna put Daniel over everyone. And so these other rulers get together, the other two rulers, and they say, listen, like, we just can't have that. Like, that's not all right. So we're just going to have to accuse Daniel in some way. So here's what they do. They go to the king, and they say, king, you're such an amazing ruler. They flatter him. They butter him up. And they say, you're so great. Like, here's what we want to do. We want to sign into law just to honor you. We want to sign into law that nobody for the next 30 days can worship anyone but you. They can only pray to you. We just want to do that to honor you. And don't you know that world leaders can be prone to pride? And he said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Well, let's sign that into law. And he's persuaded to sign it into a law that cannot be overturned. And those other two rulers think to themselves, we got Daniel now. And so Daniel now finds himself in a situation that's difficult because it is against the law for him to pray to the one true God. And those other two rulers must think to themselves, we got him. We got him now. Because we know that he's not going to abide by this. And we know the penalty, and they wrote the penalty in. If anyone violated this, they were to be fed to the lions. Look at verse 10. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and he knelt down. What are the next two words? He went home and he knelt down as usual. He was a man of prayer. Here's what we see throughout the book of Daniel, that he was a man of prayer. As usual, in his upstairs room with its windows open towards Jerusalem, he prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. There was no law in Judaism that said that he had to pray 3 times a day. There was no law that said that he had to open his windows and turn towards Jerusalem and pray. This was apparently his habit. So I'm asking myself, why would this man who's achieved so much and stood out and stood faithful through all this, why would he go every day and pray 3 times, opening his windows and turning towards Jerusalem? Number one, I think it's because he recognized how powerful prayer is, that it shapes the world, that God is moved by people's prayer. Number two, I believe that he opened his window towards Jerusalem because that's where he was from, and there were an awful lot of people. Actually, the majority of the Israelites were still back in Jerusalem living under horrid conditions, and he never let his heart grow complacent towards praying for people who were in bondage. He was a man of prayer. And so even though the law was, he could not pray to anyone except the king, he decided that he was going to continue in the manner that he had always continued. I believe he was faced with this decision, and it's really pretty simple. He had 3 choices when he heard the law, I'm sure. Number one was to stop praying. I'm just not going to pray. I'm just not going to pray because that's the law. The second one was probably the one that I may be apt to take, which was would be just to kind of fake it, like to just silently pray and like just alter my routine that I had done for years so that nobody would notice me and just kind of blend in and not offend anyone, that I'm gonna just pray silently. So when people saw me, I'd be like, hey, what are you doing? Just thinking deep. I think the third choice that he had, he could either stop praying, he could either pray silently. I think the third choice that he had was just to remain faithful. The culmination of years of doing what he had determined to do from a young man. He said, I'm just not going to change that. Let me just tell you, if outside influence changes the internals in you, it will affect your outward actions and God will be unable to use you. May we determine in our heart we're going to stand strong for God. That is hard. The most difficult aspect of being a pastor is waking up every morning and spending time with God. It's no different from when I was in the secular workplace and not a pastor. I still had to discipline myself to get up and seek God. Over and over in the New Testament, we see Jesus, right before he healed people, the Bible says he was moved with compassion. I think oftentimes we forget about the broken people all around us and that God is desperately looking for people that he can use. It's First Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. God wants to use you. God wants to use me. He wants to use everyone that is available. And here's how we become available. Just like Daniel, we determine in our heart, nothing will knock me off of standing for God. Difficult circumstances may come. You have to expect that difficulty is coming. Adversity is coming your way, because here's the reality. Everybody here, you're either in a storm, you're just coming out of a storm in your life, or you're about to go into a storm in your life. How many of you guys here, you say, okay, Pastor, right now I'm in the middle of a storm. Anybody? Come on, be honest. Don't be afraid. Raise them high. How many of you say, I feel like I just came out of it? Anybody? I feel that way. The rest of you, you're probably about to go in it. Adversity's coming. How we prepare for that will determine. It'll determine how we make it through it. The first truth, when God raises you up, expect people to tear you down. The second truth, kneeling to pray is what gives you the strength to stand. If that law was enacted today, would you be worried? If you could objectively look If you could objectively look at your prayer life, would you be concerned? Whew, people know that I'm a person of prayer. Daniel was known as a person of prayer. And listen, he wasn't out on the street corners saying, "Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I petition thee." He wasn't doing that. But everybody that knew him recognized the level of faith that he had in the God of heaven, and they knew that his routine was to go home. I'm sure after a while at the office, like, what do you do at home, Daniel? Like, why are you going home every day at lunch? Like, what are you coming into the office so chipper for? Like, what's the deal? Do you think that maybe they wondered where he was going during his lunch break? Come on, if somebody left at the same time at your workplace and they returned back at the same time every single day, like, wouldn't it arise at some point if you worked closely with them, "Hey, where are you going?" I mean, wouldn't it be like, "Hey, like, you want to go grab them?" "Can't do that. Sorry, no. He recognized that when he would pray, he was meeting with God, and that is where his strength lied. It's convicting. Are we people who pray? Like, it doesn't have to be some super deep, eloquent, I don't know. You've all heard the prayers, haven't you, that you're like, wow, that was so beautiful. I've been really guilty of many times of praying ugly, ugly prayers. And guess what? God hears them. Here's the one that he hears the most. "God, help me. I'm messing this up. I need you." Do you know that is a prayer that God will hear? Here's what you'll find as you consistently get to the place of prayer. God will meet you. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this, and it's not that it's bad or wrong, but I just have a fresh perspective on it. "Well, all we can do now is pray." Y'all ever heard that before? "All we can do now is pray." I understand what you're saying, but here's my question to me in my heart. Is the first place that I go to the place of prayer, or is it to the place of Todd where I'm going, "Wait, what happened? Well, let me tell you how I'm going to fix this, and I'm going to do this, and hold on, I need to make some phone calls, and we got to get this arranged." And the reality is that so often in our own strength, we try and manipulate situations to work in our favor rather than to pray to the God of heaven who can change it in a moment like that. So Daniel continues to go home and pray. And I imagine his prayers were, "God, I trust you. I'm going to believe you. God, deliver me." It doesn't seem like that's happening, because the king's hand is forced. He signed it into law. Daniel has been found guilty. He's brought before the king, and the king is forced to sentence him. They put him in the lion's den. Verse 22. As Daniel was placed in the lion's den overnight, here's what we see in verse 22. It's the next morning. The king comes out, and he's grieved because he had to do this. He says, "My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouths," because the king cries out, "Daniel, are you okay? My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouths so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty." Look at verse 23. "The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God." Here's number three. When you do what's right, you can always trust God with the result. When you do what's right, you can always trust God with the results. We don't ever have to worry about the results. We can trust God. So we wrap up this one thought. You never know the end of the story in the middle. You never, never do you know the end of the story in the middle. But the middle is where so often people begin to get weary, they begin to get worn out, they begin to get tired, and they say to themselves, I just can't do this. How do you think Daniel felt when he heard what the law had been, that the law had been signed into effect, that if he prayed to his God, that he would be thrown into the lion's den? How do you think he felt? I put myself in that situation, and this man had to have such resolve and such faith in God to get him through that difficult season that he was able to stand strong and say, I will do what is right regardless. When you stand strong and you say, I will do what is right regardless of what may come, we can be assured that God is with us. I mean, we look at the story of Daniel and go, wow, what faith. What's so fascinating to me, and I'm not going to put this up on the screen, but because of Daniel's faith, number one, his life was spared. But can I tell you, that was not the point that God had in mind, I don't believe. I mean, I'm sure Daniel was really happy that his life was spared, wouldn't you? You'd be like, thank you, God, that the lions didn't eat me. But here's the reality. I can't promise you that your results will be exactly like Daniel's. Because the Bible is full of examples of people who made a stand for what was right and spoke the truth, did it from a heart of love with a compassion for people who were broken, and they did not have the same fate as Daniel. The one that sticks out to me the most is Jesus himself. But in the end, he lived. The same is true for us, and God will use us as we stand strong to change the world. And as Daniel's life was spared, this is what Darius decreed to the entire known world. He sent a message to everyone that said in verse 26, you don't have to put it on the screen, I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel. For he's the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heaven and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. Don't give up in the middle of the story. Stand strong, and regardless of what you're going through, know that God will deliver you. He will deliver you, and it's never just about you. This story isn't about Daniel. Daniel lived, Daniel died, but what we have is a testimony of faith that encourages us today. And you may think, yes, but I've been doing this for years, and I don't see any results. I don't feel like I've ever stood out. Well, maybe it's because, like so many people who God has used to do tremendous things, they never stand out until after they die. Have you thought about that? My grandfather's life has more impact on me today than it did when he was living. You never know what's on the other side of your obedience to God. Trust him. Stand strong. The way that you get strong is to listen to God, seek him, hear from him, believe him. You'll be made strong. But let me tell you, it's like eating a meal when you're hungry. Anybody ever eaten a wonderful big meal when you're hungry and just feel amazingly satisfied? Have you? I mean, you're so starving. You eat this massive meal. I mean, just steak and eggs and, I mean, potatoes, the whole nine yards. Have y'all been just famished and you eat this huge meal and you're like, oh, it's so good, and you just feel like stuffed, but at the same time, so content. Has anybody, we've all experienced that, right? You're like, oh, I was so hungry and that feels so good. Can I just tell you, it's not really healthy to starve yourself and then binge on a massive meal, is it? I'm not gonna eat for 4 days and then I'm gonna eat the world's largest meal. So often we try to do that spiritually. We all know, physically, what is the most healthy thing that we can do? Consistently eat multiple meals a day of the right food. We look at Daniel, morning, noon, night. What was he doing? Strengthening his walk with God so that God could use him at the right moment to stand strong and send out a decree to the entire world, the God of heaven is faithful to rescue you. Let's bow our heads. If you're here and today you feel like you need to be rescued, you're like, I know me and I know my mess ups, and today I need to be rescued. If there's anyone here, that's you, say, Pastor, that's me, pray for me. Just raise your hand, say, Pastor, that's me. Raise them high, come on. We're going to pray for you. Father, I just pray for people with their hands raised right now. I pray that you speak to them this morning and remind them that there's nothing that is too big for you, that it may look like certain death, but if they trust you, you are a God who can deliver. You are a God who can use them in a tremendous, tremendous way. So, Lord, may you meet them this morning as they turn to you. God, may your hand rest on them. You can put your hands down, nobody looking around. If you're here and you've never surrendered your life to Christ, he's waiting for you. He's saying, trust me. Trust me. I'm telling you, he can make you stronger than you ever thought you were in your own strength. And the reality is, it's not your strength, it's his. But if you're here and you're far from God and you've never surrendered your life to him, today he's knocking at the door of your heart and he's saying, surrender to me. Nobody looking around, if that's you, say, Pastor, I want to surrender my life to Jesus today. I've never done that. I've always just been a runner. I've just been running. I've been trying to do it myself, but I know that I need him today, that I feel like I'm totally weak. Jesus said, come to me. My burden is light and I am strong. If that's you and say, today, I know I need to turn to him. That's you, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's all pray together. Let's pray this out loud, all of us. Dear God, I surrender my life to you. Take my weakness. Take my sin. Take my shame. I give it to you. I surrender my life to you, Jesus. Amen. Y'all look up here. Can we give a hand to those people that raised their hand and prayed that? Today's a new day. When you pray that prayer, God hears your prayer. And the Bible says that we become a new creation, that he takes all the old and wipes it away and makes everything new. Isn't that awesome? Let's stand up together. I'm excited about the future that's to come. The best is yet to come. If you prayed that prayer, please don't walk out of here without coming up to the front and connecting with one of our prayer partners. Prayer partners, you guys can come. Connect with them. We just want to pray with you, encourage you, and get you plugged in to what it means to live a life that's honoring to God and walking out the path that he has for you. It's great. It's awesome. It's going to be a great week. I'm praying for you guys. Let's bow our heads. As I say amen, we'll be dismissed. And if you need prayer this morning, you can come up here as well. If you prayed that prayer and gave your heart to the Lord, come up here. Let us pray with you and encourage you. Father, I just pray this morning, just a blessing on everyone here. Lord, may we walk out of here standing strong, that God, that we trust you, that Lord, that we recognize that life isn't perfect, but that you are, and regardless of what comes our way, when we determine to make a stand for you, to seek you in prayer, that we can trust you as we do what's right, that you have our back. And so, Lord, I just pray that you remind us of that all week. May we stand strong for you and see this world changed, to see our workplace changed, our home changed, our relationships changed, to be like you, to reflect you. And may you bless everyone this morning that's here. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great week. See you guys soon.